The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Victor Show. It's the On Point with Victor Show, and I am Victor Armendariz, the Mexican not afraid to be American. Not afraid to be American. Listen, folks, I know some of you, question I get asked a lot, and this is probably sad, but I get asked a lot, why am I so joyful, happy, and smiling, folks, because you gotta live your life every day, and you better be happy as you can, because if you go through life angry, it's gonna be pretty tough. Life is hard enough as it is, and if you make yourself go through life angrier than just normal life, well, you're gonna be miserable. Case in point, look at all these whack job students who have been radicalized by the left, probably from kindergarten, because we the people for some reason continue to allow the federal government to run education. Why we do this, I don't know. But you see what's happening. You've got a bunch of radical little snot-nosed college kids that are so angry at the world. I mean, why are these people so angry? You really got to ask yourself that. And, you know, I ask that on this question a lot. But that's another topic for another day, folks. Listen, we're going to have a treat today. It's going to be a fun show today. I got a few things I've got to get off my chest, of course. And then, boy, you guys want to hear my opinion on the court case that's ongoing with Trump. And we'll get to that. I got to say this first. Folks, look, I've got some, you know, we get sponsors here and there on the show, and some come, some go, and we've had some great ones, and you guys hear me talk about DuckDuckGo, and listen, DuckDuckGo is a search engine you should be using. Step away from Google, your life will be better for it. Start using DuckDuckGo. But I also want to mention, you know, guys, if you listen to me enough, you know that I love soccer, I love motocross and motorcycle and racing, and I love pizza. And I've mentioned this before, this is a great, great company for those of you, and listen, if you're outside of Georgia, just let me tread on your attention span for a minute, because we've got this great pizza joint. If you are in Atlanta, Georgia, anywhere near Brookhaven or Chamblee, and if you're not near Brookhaven or Chamblee, then you should make the drive, because you need to go to Gallas. You need to go visit Gallas. I think they actually have a couple of locations, but the one I always visit is the one in Chamblee, Brookhaven, and I'll tell you what, it's just a great neighborhood pizza joint. Not only are you going to get great pizza, you're going to get great service. I have to give a shout out. There is a cat working out there. His name is Matt, and I hope he doesn't mind me naming him. I won't give last names. Great customer service, great people, well-run establishment. So get yourself down to Gallas Pizza, and not only will you get great pizza, you're going to get great service. And you can tell them you heard it from the On Point with Victor Show. You never know what they're going to do for you if you tell them you heard it on the On Point with Victor Show. So, all right, folks, let's get hopping here. Listen, you're going to have a treat today. You guys hear me all the time. I will mention the fair tax. I will talk about a consumption tax, the idea of a consumption tax, and I can bring it. You can hit me with any problem that this country faces right now, and I can tell you how a consumption tax is going to make things better. I can do that, and I love talking about it. And today, we are going to speak with Stephen Hayes. Stephen Hayes is with the FairTax.org, FairTax.org group, which is the national organization that supports the fair tax, or at least tries to educate people about the fair tax. And Steve's going to do a whole lot better explaining his position there and everything that I'm doing right now. But stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get to Steve here. In fact, I think he's already on the line, and we're going to get to him here shortly. But I got to get into a couple of things first, really quick. My question, you know, you guys, you know how I love to do questions. The On Point with Victor question of the day for this show is it finally time to kick the UN out of the U.S.? I'm serious, and I am 100% serious with this, folks. Is it finally time to kick the UN out of the U.S.? I am sick and tired that we as taxpayers fund these authoritarian wannabe, socialist wannabe communists. Some of them aren't even wannabes. They are flat out communists, flat out socialists, flat out authoritarians. We allow these world leaders to, and representatives of these countries to come over to New York and live it up at taxpayer expense. We give them an incredible building, incredible real estate in New York, and we do all these things for the UN, only for the UN to turn around and stab us in the back every freaking chance they get. And they're showing you now, by the way they're treating Israel and the way they're being aided and abetted by the Biden administration, because the Biden administration is being run by a bunch of progressive nut jobs. And anybody who thinks today's Democrat Party isn't made up of a bunch of progressive nut jobs, well, you just need to open your eyes and pay attention. You wouldn't have this anti-Semitism brewing if it wasn't coming from the top. The anti-Semitism that is in this country that's finally being released. Look, this has been bottled up by a lot of Democrats for a long time, and now they're just letting it come out. All you've got to do, folks, is step back and open your eyes. You know, one thing the Biden administration's whole campaign is, don't believe your lying eyes. Don't believe what you see. Listen, look at what they're doing. They're trying to tell you that riots are peaceful. They're trying to tell you when Antifa BLM burns down buildings and cities and takes them over, that somehow that's peaceful. Don't believe your lying eyes. This is what the Democrats are telling you. This is their campaign. The economy stinks. The economy right now, who's getting hurt the worst? Poor. The poor are being hurt the worst. The lower middle's being hurt the worst. The middle's being decimated. The middle class is being decimated. And the Democrats are doing this. But yet they will tell you, shut up, sit down, you've got money. Biden was just on one of the very few interviews that I can't believe they allowed him to do it, and they probably won't allow him to do any more. But he sat there in front of this, what's her name on CNN, and said, well, what do you mean there's inflation? What do you mean? And well, first of all, he tried to blame Trump for the inflation. That's laughable. Then he talks about how people have money. People can just suck it up. You've got money. You've got money to spend. No, Biden. No, Democrats. You've destroyed the economy. People don't have money. The poor are, and up to the middle class, and even beyond the middle class, when you start looking at the upper middle, there are families, 60%+ in this country living paycheck to paycheck right now. That's your doing, Joe Biden, then the Democrats. So it's not a hunky-dory economy right now, and the people know it. And the people know it. So, but when we start talking about the UN, and I'm asked this question because the UN is knowingly, and I know I'm jumping a little bit, but you know how that's how I operate, folks. The UN is knowingly pushing Hamas propaganda, death numbers, the death numbers that's coming out. The UN has knowingly pushed the wrong numbers. They know they took their numbers from Hamas. And Hamas, look, anybody who listens to anything Hamas says and believes it, then you've got a problem. And the UN knowingly pushed these death numbers that they knew were inflated. And now the UN is quietly trying to walk them back. And you know, for me, folks, that's just, I mean, I'm already irritated with the way the UN treats the US and that we allow them and prop them up in New York City. And now to find out that the UN was knowingly pushing numbers because they were using Hamas. How is it that the UN can trust Hamas, a terrorist organization, and not trust the United States or not trust Israel? I mean, you're going to get much better information from the Israeli democracy, and the Democrats love democracy. Well, the only resemblance of democracy and freedom in the Middle East is Israel, that small little country that is Israel. So, but yet the UN wants to believe Hamas. I mean, folks, this is, it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. And now, Joe dementia patient Biden is going to withhold armament to Israel. What would happen if he tried to withhold armament from Ukraine? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, and in fact, I'm old enough to remember that Donald J. Trump was impeached on the accusation that he was withholding armament to Ukraine. So why isn't Joe Biden being impeached? Now, look, if the Republicans really wanted to impeach him, now's your chance. Now's your chance. Joe Biden, by withholding armament to Israel, that is impeachable because the Democrats They impeached Donald Trump over it. Now what's good for the gander is good for the goose, or good for the goose, good for the gander, whatever that saying is. And which is why I kept saying the more you go after Trump, you may not like Trump. You may hate Trump. And you may be cheering all this lawfare against Trump, but you need to remember one thing. Everything they're doing to Trump can be done to somebody next time who you might like. Everything that's being done to Trump can be done to someone else down the road, because you Democrat whack jobs are setting up the precedent. And you people can go look this up. One of the times they impeached Donald Trump was over this withholding, and now Biden is actually with it. You know, Trump didn't actually do anything that they accused him of. But once again, the Democrats are doing the very thing they're trying to convince you that Trump was doing, or that the Republicans do. Joe Biden is actively threatening to withhold much needed armament that Israel, and look, you can say what you want about the Ukraine-Russia war, but with this Israel's actually fighting a terrorist group who actually killed Americans, and they're still holding Americans hostage. And your president, your American president, our American president, Joe Biden, is going to tell Israel, I'm not going to give you armament to go knock off Hamas, a terrorist group? Yeah, that's impeachable. Now, let me be very clear. I don't want the Republicans to impeach Joe Biden. We are cruising to an election. The Democrats would love to get rid of Joe Biden. The only reason they haven't got rid of Joe Biden is because they don't want Kamala. Nobody wants Kamala Harris. Nobody wants cackling Kamala Harris. The establishment doesn't want her. The Democrat voters does not want her. So the only reason Joe Biden has not been kicked off this ticket is because cackling Kamala has been his best decision that Biden ever made, because he has insurance. And I think Jill Biden's the one that made that decision, because knowing that we put cackling Harris on this ticket, and we've got insurance that they won't try to remove us from the ticket for 2024. And that's what's happening, folks. That's what's happening. And so my message to the Republicans, back off. You don't need to impeach and try to actually remove Biden. You need to concentrate on getting behind Trump, sticking to the issues, because he's cruising right now to a victory. And boy, I've said it before and I'll say it again, leave it up to the establishment Republicans to be the kings of snatching victory, or snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. I mean, it's just amazing. But, all right, folks, I'm gonna get off my soapbox here. I've kind of jumped around, but you see where I'm headed with that, and we'll talk about that more. And I'll get to some polling update. The news coming out on polling is amazing for Trump. And I'll tell you, like I always tell you, you've got to be wary of polls. If you believe a single poll, if you live by it, you're gonna die by it. What I always tell you is look at the averages. Follow the polling averages. You can look at polling averages and you're gonna get a good idea of trends. And if you watch the trends, you'll get a good idea on what's going on. And right now, the polling averages are all in Trump's favor. The trends are all in Trump's favor. I mean, Trump has built he's getting to the point where he's got an unsurmountable lead against Biden in Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. Those are three states that Biden lost. And I'll tell you this too, Nevada, right now Donald Trump is 13 points up in Nevada. If that continues to grow, and if you add RFK and some of the other goofball Democrat candidates into the mix, the third party candidates, Trump's lead gets bigger. We're getting into unsurmountable grounds where Biden's just not going to catch him. And it's awesome. And I'll remind you this. The last time a Democrat lost Nevada was that great, amazing war hero from Vietnam, John F. Kerry. You know, that guy that got a splinter in his derriere and got like five Purple Hearts for it. he's some kind of Vietnam hero. Yeah, that guy. Just in case you didn't know, John Kerry, the Vietnam guy. Yeah, he lost Nevada. He was the last Democrat to lose Nevada. So, this is turning right now. I'll tell you what. Look. We're 5 months out and things can change. And I always tell you, we've got to stick to the issues. We've got to stick. Donald Trump, I'm telling you, and I told you last week, folks, the best thing that ever happened to him were these court cases. And believe it or not, the gag order, because this is making Trump a better campaigner. It's making Trump be very, very concise and very, very, he has to be just, he's got to be spot on when he campaigns, because he's limited on what he can be campaign, when he can campaign, and he's limited on what he can say. But it's keeping him disciplined. And this disciplined Trump is trouncing Biden. I mean, it's just, it's laughable, because the Democrats are making Trump better. I mean, it's hilarious, but that's, it's true. It's true. But. All right, folks, we are going to get into something here. Now, you know, I talk about the fair tax all the time. I talk about a consumption tax. And the other question on the show today that everyone should be asking yourself this, and you should go ask your friends this, what if we scrapped the federal income tax system? Because our system here, no free country, especially the United States, should have a progressive tax system. We should never have a progressive tax system. In fact, If you're built on freedom and liberty, which our Constitution is, our way of life in this country, the founding of this country is based on liberties and freedoms, you can't have a progressive tax system. A progressive tax system is the most punishing system. And we're actually encouraging laziness. We reward laziness with a progressive tax system. And then we punish achievement. And that's got to change. So what if, imagine this, ladies and gentlemen, imagine if we scrap the federal income tax, completely scrapped it. Bye-bye. Give new jobs to the IRS. Give all those agents a new job. They already got a gun, so put them in law enforcement. So imagine scrapping most of the IRS, if not all of it, scrapping the federal income tax and replacing it with a simple consumption tax. And if you want to know about it, there's a plan out there called the Fair Tax. And coming on board with me right now is Stephen Hayes. And Stephen Hayes is from fairtax.org. Stephen, are you there?
Victor, I'm here. And also, as we discussed yesterday, and he was able to make it, another one of our board members, who's from Atlanta, by the way, Chad Hagen, is on the call.
Oh, excellent.
So you actually have both of us.
Ah, what a treat, what a treat. Well, Chad, welcome to the show. Stephen, welcome to the show. Now,
thank you.
Real quick, what's that?
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Oh, yeah. You bet, you bet. So you probably heard my opening there. And what I did, you know, I always give my shows titles, and today's title is What If We Scrapped the Federal Income Tax and Replaced It with a Consumption Tax? And the best plan out there is the Fair Tax. So I want to get into that a little bit, because I am sure the two of you could probably sum up the idea of the fair tax very quickly and concisely, so and in layman terms, so everybody can understand it, because we all know that the fair tax, the idea of a consumption tax, is very, very easy and susceptible to and open to being demagogued to death, and the Democrats love to demagogue it. But it's a very simple plan, and once people understand it, they usually demand it. So let's get into that a little bit. But and please, you, Chad, and Steve, give a quick little background, and then we'll get into the fair tax and what it would mean for this country.
Okay, Chad, why don't you go first?
Yes.
Yeah, so fair tax is a consumption tax. It was first introduced in 1999 by Georgia Congressman John Lender. It's been since introduced in every congressional session. Last congressman to introduce it was Buddy Carter from the Savannah area. So it's got a lot of support amongst Republicans. And at this point, it's on the ballot for Republicans in the state of Georgia. So if you've already voted, you would have seen the fair tax snippet on the ballot. It was actually on the first or second page.
Yeah, actually, Chad, that is great information for those, because the home station, the flagship station for America's Web Radio, is right here in Atlanta, Georgia, or Roswell, Georgia. So everybody out there, every listener out there right now that's in Georgia, Chad brings up a great point. The fair tax is actually on the ballot. Now, Chad, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure that this isn't a binding law that'll go into effect if it's 100% votes for the fair tax. But what you're trying to do is show the elected officials that the people want this.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So it's not binding. It's really just to gauge interest. If there's a big turnout in favor of continuing the fair tax, we'll just continue pushing this. As you know, and as the listeners, the audience knows, Georgia's really been focused focused on lowering the income tax liabilities in the state. And as Georgia continues to become a low-tax state, hopefully no income tax state, the thought here is that they'll replace it with the consumption tax, which is a fair tax.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, real quick, Chad, just so you'll know, you're sounding a little muffled coming over the air, so I'm not sure if you're on speakerphone or anything, but if you can maybe change that, if whatever you can do there, because I really want to make sure that everybody understands and hears everything very clearly. But folks, what Chad was saying there is that...
Yeah, for sure. Sorry, I'll take it off speaker.
Oh, that's much better, much better, much better, Chad. But folks, what Chad was saying there is if Georgia is surrounded by states that do not have a state income tax in Georgia, if they want to keep playing ball with the rest of the states, we need to get rid of our state income tax. There's no doubt about that. We need to move to the consumption tax. But I want to use this time. Let's talk about what would it mean to replace the federal income tax with the fair tax?
You want me to take
Steve talk about that, because he's been handling it for a lot longer than I have to be able to handle it. But I do want to say is that, you know, John Linder being an Atlanta area congressman, many of your listeners will remember the Fair Tax book that was written by Congressman John Linder and Neil Bortz.
That's
how I first heard about it.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, real quick before you get going there, Steve, folks, listen, and for those of you outside of Georgia, you need to look up, it's called The Fair Tax. And there's also a book called The Fair Tax, Answering the Critics. Now, I would tell you, I know a lot of you are going to go, I'm not going to read a book about taxes. Listen, Neil Bortz and John Linder wrote an amazing book, and Neil Bortz kept it on the light side, so it's a good read. And if you just want to pick one and just read one, get Fair Tax, Answering the Critics by Neil Bortz and John Linder. Your eyes will be amazingly, amazingly, well, you want to talk about woke. You'll become woke real fast against what the government's doing to you with progressive taxes. So, but go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. Well, basically, if the fair tax is, as you pointed out, very, very simple. You take and eliminate the federal income tax, corporate and individual. You eliminate the estate and gift taxes, and you eliminate payroll taxes. You replace it all with a national retail sales tax on new retail goods and retail services. You also have a family allowance, which we call a prebate, which allows, depending on family size, but let's use a family of four, making $40,000 a year to be totally exempt from paying any fair tax at all if they spend $40,000 a year on new goods and retail services. So it's a simple plan. It's collected as you make purchases, sort of like everybody, at least in 43 states, are used to, which is the state sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
You come in, you go to the store, you make a purchase. Here's the price. You add on the fair tax. And that's basically the simplicity. You control, Victor, and all your listeners control, how much taxes you pay every year. You get rid of having to file tax returns. You get rid of the IRS. Like you said, you give them a new job.
Right.
And you take all of that control out of D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and Bortz used to tell me that, in his opinion, it was the most significant transfer of power, literally, since the Constitution.
There is no doubt.
You're taking all of this power out of the D.C. bureaucrats and the D.C. machine,
mm-hmm.
and you're giving it to us.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer can pick winners and losers.
Well, imagine
they
that.
No longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they no longer can induce you, Victor, or Chad, who does a lot of business as well, to invest in something, assuming, sort of like the research and development credit, that you're going to have that expensing, and change that to where you have to write it off over 5 to 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. and create a big tax problem. They can just treat us like we're at the end of the string of a yo-yo.
Well,
and
imagine
that's a control they don't want to lose.
Well, you're 100% right.
They lose it with a fair tax.
And let me tell you, Neil Bortz was 100% right. This would be the greatest transfer of power from the federal government to the people since the revolution. There's no doubt about it because, you know, we always hear people that want to complain about K Street and lobbyists and this, that, and the other, but nobody wants to do anything about it. Well, the easiest thing to do something about that is to implement a fair tax, because if we had a consumption tax, just as you said, Steve, that would take the power away. You imagine the government not being able to pick winners and losers. You wouldn't have these EVs being forced down the throats of people because the government couldn't just willy-nilly pick auto manufacturers and say, we're going to dump money in your lap. We know you're going to go broke, but not before you make the lobbyists rich, the politicians rich, and then the elitist that's involved with it rich. The people will lose their jobs like they're doing now. I mean, look at all the layoffs going on with the EV companies. I mean, that's just one example. And that's where government's trying to pick a winner. And they do it through the taxation. And also imagine, Steve and Chad and of course all my listeners out there, imagine if the government couldn't play war with class warfare. And they lie to you every two, I mean, you tell me, Steve, and I'm sure, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I've talked about this all the time about how the top 10% of taxpayers are actually paying, I think it's 97 or more percent of the tax burden, and the bottom 50% are paying zero, if any.
Right.
That's not sustainable.
Well, it's not only not sustainable, and it's also not really fair, because all of us have a hand in the government and in the operations of the economy. And what we're talking about is passing a tax that puts the power back in the individual's hands, and also all the income you make is yours to keep.
Wow.
You only pay taxes when you choose to spend it.
What a concept.
All of the money you save is earning tax-free income. It's like a universal IRA.
Mm.
There's no tax on savings. All the investments you make, there's no tax on the investment return. You're talking about giving a supercharge to the economy, because now you've got an incentive to work harder and invest more, because you only get taxed, and we all know that you punish something by taxing it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here, you're telling people you're only going to get taxed if you spend the money, so you have an incentive to save.
Mm-hmm.
You have an incentive to invest. And
you
you're also going to see a huge impact with all the money that's going to come from offshore. Right now, there's 5 to 15 trillion, depending on who you believe, of money hidden in offshore bank accounts. You know, money stolen by African dictators,
mm-hmm.
Russians. The Chinese have moved a lot of money out.
So
they're in a situation where they look for places to invest. Are they going to invest here at 0%? Or in Germany at 30%?
We would effectively, the United States would effectively become the manufacturing hub of the world. And I would almost guarantee that under if we went to a fair tax system.
Yeah, and we would suddenly be in line with 140 other countries, which when they have exports from their country, they give back their value-added tax, which is anywhere from 15 to 25%,
mm-hmm.
they give it back to the exporter, so it comes to the U.S. at a big advantage over what it sells for in Europe or in mm-hmm. Asia or wherever they are. And we don't tax it, Victor.
Mm-hmm.
We let it alone. We don't tax it. So we disadvantage American companies by anywhere from 15 to 25% off the bat.
Yeah.
And that's something that's eliminated when you go to the fair tax, because, again, it's only on retail sales. Well, an export's not a retail sale.
Right, right.
So we no longer will have to carry the cost of government, which is estimated between 15 and 25% of the price
mm-hmm.
that we pay at when we buy things. We don't carry that with our exports.
Well,
we become incredibly competitive.
100%. And the other thing people need to think about this is this. when you imagine, okay, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe 70-80% of the job creation in this country comes from small business. So imagine a small business that could wake up every morning and not have to worry about tax implications if they wanted to expand their business. Imagine a business that's looking forward to next year going, okay, what do I need to do to grow, to hire more, to increase everything I'm doing? Imagine that thought process if they did not have to think of the number one thing, and if a company tells you that's not their number one thing they think about, then they're lying, is their tax implications. Every time a company wants to expand or hire or do anything, they have to first wonder, have to investigate, what is the tax implication going to be for that move to growth? Am I wrong?
Chad, you're very much involved in creating and operating a business. Why don't you take this one?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's the main concern, and that also it weighs heavily on business confidence for business owners, small business owners, and even large CEOs of large companies. Mm-hmm. Tax implications.
Absolutely.
And as we all know, these large mega corporations are really, really good at skirting paying certain levels of corporate tax. Amazon's a great example. So most of that burden falls on entrepreneurs and small business owners, mm-hmm. and that creates this ripple effect that affects everything from hiring to business investment to expansion, and it's just really inefficient.
That's 100%, Chad. And that leads me to the other thing. You mentioned corporate taxes. You know, corporate taxes, corporations, when you tax the snot out of a corporation, that's a cost of doing business. And that tax is going to be run right down to the retail level, and the individual is going to pay that tax. So when politicians, namely Democrats, run around and say, oh, we got to raise corporate taxes, who are they really raising taxes on? They're raising taxes on the individual. And that's something they fit under a consumption tax they could not do.
Right, right. And that's what we see with inflation, too. People often call that a tax. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a tax none of us like most taxes, and inflation obviously can spiral out of control. But the same thing that happens with increasing corporate taxes is what we see with inflation. So those costs are just passed down to the retail level, to the consumer. Consumer has to bear the cost.
Yeah.
And, from it just being incredibly unfair. It's just really, really inefficient. And what America should be focused on is how can we bolster our economy for the long term?
Mm-hmm.
Stop putting Band-Aids
right.
on what are effectively, you know,
yeah. And how can
massive flesh wounds.
And what the question should be is how can we help more Americans? How can we help the citizen? And this is what I always, when I have these conversations, and especially with Democrats will... And unfortunately, some establishment Republicans will also. They do not like the idea of the fair tax because, let's face it, they don't want to lose the power. But to hear some of the ridiculous things they'll come up with, it comes down to power. And the American people, I think if they really understood what we're talking about here, that they could imagine receiving your paycheck every 2 weeks or every month or however that works for you, imagine looking at that and actually understanding what gross means. Because too often there are too many workers in this country who see net. Oh, I get net. This is my net. No, look at what your gross was, and then look at what the government's doing to you. And I think under the fair tax and the consumption tax idea, you're getting 100% of your paycheck. I think people, you know, I like to say it this way, and you guys tell me what you think about this. One of the easiest ways I try to explain the consumption tax idea to people is this. Imagine waking up one day or growing up in the United States and always living under the consumption tax. If all you knew was that you pay taxes at the retail level, which means when no one's withholding anything from your check, your earnings is 100% yours, goes into your bank, you save it or you go out to spend it. And then when you go to the store, you buy that new car or you go buy those new clothes or you go buy whatever it is, then you're paying a 23% or so national sales tax. That's part, it's inclusive, it's in the price, and that's all you've known. And then along comes some politicians and says, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to dip into your paycheck before you get it. Before that check lands, before that money, let's say you made $5,000 this month, and before that $5,000 lands into your bank account, we're going to take $2,500 of it because the government needs it and they need it fast. And so we're just going to go ahead and reach in and grab that. And so you're not going to see $5,000. You're going to see $2,500. But you're going to be a patriot because that's a taxes that we're going to withhold from you. Do either one of you guys think that would pass if people only knew if they grew up with a fair tax?
No, not at all. Of course not. And, you know, and but the way they got it through the first time was it was only going to apply to the very wealthy Andrew Carnegies and that type,
right,
who were paying nothing for the support of the country, which couldn't have been further from the truth. But that was how they got it through the first time.
Right. And a lot of people don't realize that, but you're 100% right. And what do the Democrats do to this day? Oh, we're only going to soak the rich. But what happens? The middle class gets hurt. They're devastating the middle class. You mentioned inflation, well, and I, you know, inflation to me, it is a tax, but it's a tax on the poor because who does inflation hurt the most? It's going to hurt those on the bottom of the scale the most. And the Democrats are trying to convince people that they care. And look, I shouldn't make this political because you guys are, I'm sure, want to be nonpartisan. But so folks, this is coming from me when I mentioned the politics of it, but, it does hurt American citizens, and that's what should be known, is this current tax system hurts American citizens, and we should do better. And Steve and Chad, you guys, one of you mentioned value added. And I get this question a lot because a lot of people want to call a consumption tax a VAT tax, and it is not. There is a difference. To me, I tell people, listen, if the United States adopts a consumption tax, we will not have a VAT tax because what Europe does, and we of course would scrap the income tax. Europe has an income tax and every other kind of tax, and then they do a hidden VAT tax and call it a value added tax. So there's a difference.
Well, the big difference is how it's applied. The value-added tax is at each stage of production. The farmer who grows the crop and he sells it, he applies the value-added tax to the increase in value of those seeds that became a crop. And all the way up the line until it's finally sowed and the consumer then is to pay it. The retail sales tax eliminates all of that. All you have to do if you're a manufacturer of products that are going into a retail product is file a return showing that you're an authorized reseller, so you don't have to pay the tax. There is no tax to be paid. There's no calculation. There's no attempt to game the system like there is in most parts of the world. And all you do at the retail sales tax is you collect it by the states who already collect the state sales tax. They remit it to the federal government. As a retailer, it can become a profit center because you actually get paid 0.25% to collect the tax. And the states have it as a profit center because they get paid 0.25%. Mm-hmm. And America has it a profit center because we immensely benefit by having them do it and by the freedom that we get.
Right. I mean, it's just everything about this idea just champions people and not government. And that should alone make people want to vote for it. So, well, listen, guys, I want to get into, so Steve and Chad, what are the steps or what does the, now I mentioned fairtax.org all the time. So what is fairtax.org doing or what are the methods that you're trying to reach people and what's the outlook for this idea to come to reality?
Well, Chad is heading up the whole movement to really ramp it up because we do have a chance. We believe that there's going to be a new president, and the new president will be willing to listen. So, Chad, why don't you kind of explain what's on the horizon for Fairtax?
Sure. I mean, it's been really good news that a lot of Trump's economic council is talking about the flat tax. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to interlace with that, have them start talking about fair tax. Some of the individuals who are supporting flat tax actually support fair tax as well. And we're also working on more marketing pushes and retooling the message so we can refute what the naysayers say about fair tax, continue to get it out front in a positive light. And then at the state level, as we discussed, continuing that push. A lot of these southeastern and states like Texas have no income tax, so we're continuing to push that and put forth the idea of a consumption tax. We really feel strongly about this happening in Georgia and states like Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mentioned before, you know, I'm sitting here in Georgia, and Tennessee doesn't have an income tax, state income tax. Florida doesn't have a state income tax. Texas doesn't have a state income tax. New Hampshire doesn't have a state income tax. And these are well-performing states. And I think for states, if states want to really attract, South Dakota doesn't have an income tax. If states want to attract business and attract growth, because one of the issues, and I'm sure you guys could speak to this too, the biggest threat that's not spoken enough about, I'm one of the few radio hosts that will pound this point time after time, but the biggest threat, or one of the biggest threats to this country, is spending. We have a bona fide spending problem in this country, and we don't need to reduce the growth of spending. We need to actually cut and reduce spending. And you can't grow, well, let me rephrase that. You have to grow your way out of debt. You have to grow your way, not with cutting. We must have growth, and let's just say a certain party in this country, a certain political party, seems to think that you can slow down and demoralize the United States and somehow put the U.S. in its place and bring it down a few notches and somehow think that the economic pie is going to grow. You know, I often say that we have politicians in this country that are perfectly happy with the size of the economic United States pie. They just want to cut the slices smaller. And then the only slice they want to make bigger is the dependency slice. They want to put as many people on dependency, because what is that? That'll equal votes. So I'm often phrasing the fair tax and the consumption tax idea in a way that the growth that it's going to cause, and if you take that growth and couple it with actual cutting, what would that do, Chad and Steve? What would that do to the stock market? What would it do for the status of, let's just say, the rising boats that would be rising in this country, economically speaking?
Go ahead, Chad.
Well, you know, kind of like I had said, we're constantly retooling this and refreshing this idea. If it turned out that securities did not have to adhere to consumption tax, it's all likely the roof would blow off and America would just surge with profitability like we've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
As Steve said as well, there's trillions of dollars offshore, basically legally hiding from tax implications. If fair tax was enacted, that money would come back onshore. We'd have a tremendous amount of reinvestment in the American workforce and business. We'd most likely become the manufacturing capital of the world. It's just, the amount of positives that we see economically would literally just blow your mind.
I agree 100%. You know, one thing that Neil Borst used to say, and I love quoting Neil because he is a friend, but Neil Borst, and he was, you know, he ruled Georgia radio for a long time, but Neil Borst
used to say,
oh, absolutely. Miss him dearly, and he, trust me, he's living it up. He and Donna are out with his Prevost bus, and they're just having a blast. Neil used to say that under the fair tax, if we enacted the consumption tax in this country, that not only would the stock market probably double and growth would be through the roof, that you would actually have to hide from a job, that the people in this country would have to hide from a job. And Neil used to say that, and I 100% believe it. I think that the job creation and I believe this, and you mentioned it, Steve, I believe in your opening, talking about the prebate and how the fair tax is the only tax system or the only idea that would completely remove the poor from a tax burden. Do I have that right?
That's correct.
So
that's totally correct. Because now the working poor have to pay, you know, for $40,000, they've got to pay $3,500 or so in payroll taxes. Social Security applies from the first dollar to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving them more money to spend. You're taking the added cost that's added in, as you said earlier, Victor, about an operating expense which increases prices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's estimated 15 to 25%. So retail items are going to come down. So you're increasing their purchasing power. You're giving them more money in their budget to spend.
So,
and that's not anything like what the present system does. It actually punishes them.
Well, yeah, exactly. A progressive tax system punishes achievement. And the example I always use is...
Yeah, absolutely. And it destroys confidence.
And it completely destroys
confidence.
We
all know consumer confidence and... business owner confidence is everything.
Chad, I'm going to steal that from you, Chad. That is a point that I have not made before. Consumer confidence. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. It's going to destroy confidence. And the question that I get a lot of times is, oh, it's a regressive. It's got the fair tax, the consumption tax will be regressive, and it's going to hurt poor people. But now, Steve, you and Chad, I'm sure, can explain, because I want my listeners to understand this, because they need to understand the concept of what the prebate does and how the fair tax and consumption tax does remove a poor or low, very low income person, is going to remove them, how the fair tax is actually the plan that truly helps the poor. So we have politicians that run around all the time that say they want to help the poor, but they don't. They're sticking it to them with a progressive tax system. So, but am I correct? Under the fair tax, because of the prebate, and I just, if you can explain that a little bit, I want the listeners to understand this so they can
use this. For sure, and I'm glad you brought that up, because what's really interesting about the prebate is, and I'll let Steve speak to it a little bit more in depth, but quickly, the prebate is a monthly payment families under certain income thresholds receive monthly to offset what is the consumption tax or the cost that they'd receive, that they'd have to bear on a consumption tax. And the prebate operates as a form of universal basic income, guaranteed basic income, which is obviously a leftist theory.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, these American liberals should really support fair tax, because it is providing some sort of a basic income to the poorest in America. I'll let you take the rest of that.
Yeah. They should love this plan.
they should love it. In fact, they should love it for a lot of reasons, if they really are sincere, that they want to help the lower income segments of our society. I don't think either of us on this call, and probably none of your listeners, really believe they're sincere. They want to control everything, that they believe they're the smartest people in the room, and it's up to them to tell us what we should and should not do and how much we should have and have not. So we've got to take that away as an explanation of why a lot of people who are more left-leaning against this. It's not for economic reasons. It's not for philanthropic reasons. It's because of power and control. But the prebate, basically, to your point, says you're going to get, on a $40,000 amount, you're going to get about $750 a month, which is enough to pay the charges that you're going to, you know, the fair tax charges on $3,300 a month. You're going to have that. Now, if you don't spend $3,300 a month on new goods and services, and how many people making $40,000 are going to buy a new car, Victor?
Exactly.
They're going to buy a used car.
They're not
going to pay the fair tax.
Mm-hmm.
How many people making $40,000 a year don't buy used toys often for their kids,
mm-hmm.
used bicycles? They're not going to pay any fair tax. So any additional amount of money, that's why Chad called it a guaranteed income, goes into their bank account to be spent how they choose. So it basically says that $40,000 a year, you're going to pay the tax when you buy it, because we want everybody to feel the impact of taxation, the cost of government, but you've got the money in your account to pay the tax. So there's no cost to your family on the fair tax up to 40. Now, what about a family making spending $60,000 a year? They're only going to pay the fair tax on that additional $20,000. So what you've got here is a tax that benefits lower incomes. As you make more money and spend more, you're going to pay more tax. But you're going to have the advantage of being able to buy more, because prices are going to come down through competition. And you're going to see a lot more prosperity, because you're going to have all this money flowing into the country, a lot more productivity. Productivity drives wage growth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a spiraling thing up as opposed to our present system, which is spiraling us down.
So you mentioned something right there that everybody right now needs to hear. Productivity is going to increase wage growth. That's going to kick wage growth into overdrive. But what will kill wage growth? Inflation. I mean, when you've got inflation and possibly moving into stagflation because the Biden administration and the Federal Reserve are trying to save their butts, and that's coming from me, folks, not from Steve and Chad. But when you look at it on the whole, when you've got what's going on with inflation like we're dealing with now, and the inflation numbers came out today, and they're still above what they all thought they were. I mean, I don't know what these experts, so-called experts, are. I could have told you that inflation was still up just because I can feel it when I go to the grocery store, just like everybody, every American voter right now can feel when they go to the grocery store. So You're right, and I want to stress that point. Productivity will drive wage growth, but inflation, like what we're in now, and ladies and gentlemen, again, this is coming from me. Inflation is caused by one entity, and that entity is government. There's no such thing as a bag of potato chips that has some air in it that's going to cause inflation. Inflation is caused by governments. Government, you can look throughout history. The history is riddled with examples of societies that have been brought down, civilizations that have been brought down because of inflation. Inflation is a country killer. And again, folks, this is coming from me, on point with Victor, because I have to drive home this point about inflation because we're living it now. And then when you compare the fact that we're riddled with taxes and we're weighted down by taxation. The federal government uses taxes to pit American against American. The federal government, our so-called representatives that we elect are in Washington sitting around a table figuring out how much more they can tax. And that tax is a direct punishment to the people of this country. And here we have a plan that Steve and Chad are on the line explaining so well, called the fair tax, a consumption tax, that if anybody in the world would have the gumption to actually try this plan, it would be the United States. The ingenuity of the American, the ingenuity of the American citizen, the strive for freedom and liberty, that spirit that burns in only a U.S. citizen, to me, only the Americans could come up with a plan like this. And when you look at the fair tax, what Steve's talking about, what Chad is talking about, when you take a consumption tax, known as the fair tax, because that's the plan that's in Congress, and you implement that, imagine what they just explained to you. And I believe, Steve and Chad, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're probably going to look at the poverty level. And you'll probably set the prebate somehow with the poverty level. So I don't know if that's 40,000 range.
It's set each year by the Department of Health Services, the U.S. Department of Health Services, Health and Human Services. And so it's set up by the government every year by mandate of Congress. We simply would take that number, whatever it is, and that would be the basis on which the prebate was calculated, the family allowance. And then the Social Security Administration, which is really good at sending out checks,
yes, they
would
are.
Send a prebate to every legal resident who filled out the form, which is a one-page form,
wow,
and listed the Social Security numbers of all their dependents.
So basically,
it depends on the size of the family.
So what you're telling me right now is, because this is the other question, is, oh, how can we ever change this? The system's too big and blah, blah, blah. What you're telling me right now is, and you are correct, the Social Security, there's no check that they don't like to write. And so all the infrastructure is there. We have the infrastructure to implement a fair tax because the Social Security Administration can just, instead of we're just going to call it a prebate check, and those checks will flow out. So let me ask you guys this: we could effectively, let's say a new president comes in, and let's get through 2025. Let's say on January 1, 2026, we could flip the switch and go to the fair tax. How would that work?
I'll go ahead and start on this.
I can tell you some of the things that would happen, right? And I'm for the most part quoting John Lender on this, but if the switch was flipped, the economy would explode. as I said earlier, trillions of dollars that are currently offshore would be repatriated. There wouldn't be a tax event in doing so, so they'd be repatriated. John Linder asked Alan Greenspan, former federal chair, about this, and he asked how long it would take for the money to be back in our markets and banks if the PAIR tax was passed. Alan Greenspan said merely a matter of months. And studies have shown that capital spending in the first year after passing the PAIR tax will increase 70%.
Obviously
increases productivity, and the GDP would grow by an estimated 10% in the first year.
Wow.
I mean, it's massive. It's absolutely massive.
So Steve,
sorry, I didn't mean to interject.
No. That's a much better explanation, because I was going to go more in the weeds, but let's just say there's a transition period that's been, I think, well thought out for people that have products that were produced prior to the sales tax being enacted, so they're having to pay the hidden embedded costs that come along because of the cost of government. And then over the next 3 years, the IRS would be closing out the shop, so to speak, of all the cases that were under audit and this type of thing. And then you would have, as Chad says, a bright new world for all of us, our kids and grandkids, and future generations to live in.
And it would be based in freedom, and it would actually give the United States citizen the ability to decide when and how much they pay in taxes, and you can't get any more than that. And now we're getting close to the end of the show. It goes fast. Even Now, I'm going to pat myself on the back, because I have the talent, guys, to make tax talk fun. And but listen, Steve, you mentioned, and I wanted to just touch on this real quick. You mentioned embedded taxation, and I think this is an area that people need to understand, because this is something right now under an income tax, under a federal income tax. Every product you buy, when a company makes that, from growing the grain to the wheat to the cotton to hiring to turning that into thread and turning the thread into a clothing and putting the packaging on it, every step of the way there is a tax consequence. And under the fair tax, consumption tax, it all goes away.
It's all gone. That's why prices are going to come down through competition. Now, not because people say, oh, I'm just going to give Victor a better price, although they might, but they're going to come down through competition. Target, Amazon, and, you know, 92% of our retail sales are now coming from less than 10% of the retailers.
Right.
They're going to be incredible competition to bring the price down. Automobile prices are going to come down because there is so much government cost through taxes, you know, Social Security taxes, everything that's already built in to the cost of that car. You're going to see everything come down, some as high as 20-25%, some as low as maybe 10-15%, but they're still going to come down.
Incredible. It's going to be amazing. It really is. Well, listen, guys, I really, 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 really appreciate it. I've got to end it there. But listen, Steve and Chad, I want you guys to come back. I want to schedule another show where we can talk more about this, because this is just, we've got to make the people understand this, and we've got to get it through the thick heads of the politicians. So, thank you again, Steve. Thank you again, Chad. I'm going to have you on again. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all we got. Stay tuned. Oh, you're welcome, guys. Stay tuned for Locked and Loaded. That's up next, and we'll see you next week.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.